Well, again, thank you for joining us this morning, this Sunday. And I don't know if you've noticed, we have a little different arrangement up here. Normally, the drum cage is kind of on the floor with the stage to the side, but Jared Jensen, our drummer, has elevated himself. He's feeling shy, so I'm feeling more bold. Jared, can I borrow you for a second? Since you want to be on my same level, I'm going to put you on the spot. It doesn't take long to get on my level. Normally, you have to go down. This is Jared Jensen. He's one of our great, talented musicians, drummer extraordinaire. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that either, honestly. evidently, you're a bigger deal than I thought. Anyways, hey, I don't know everything. Jared, a lot of you know that earlier this spring, Jared lost his mom, lost her suddenly. And I warned him that I was going to put him on the spot. It's been a few weeks, getting on to months, but it's hard. It's hard. It doesn't matter what age you are. You feel orphaned and things like that. And Jared, when his mom passed suddenly, was she in Alabama? No, Iowa. Similar. Jared had to up and leave, and he was holding down two jobs at the time, and one of those jobs went away because he had to leave. The other job shortly after went away. He's back doing some hourly warehouse work that's giving him problems, carpal tunnel issues, things like that, which, you know, for a drummer, that's kind of a big thing. But Jared, I wanted to let you know that our fifth Sunday offering was more than the $6,000 that we needed for Nader and his family. And so just to help out a little bit, we're going to give you a check for $1,000 to just kind of help try and keep you up, catch you up. As a gift from your church family, in memory of your mom, so this morning. So anyways, love you, and I didn't know that was happening. Love you. Okay. Our fifth Sunday offering was more than the $6,000 we needed to bless Nader and Fadia Bushra, the Egyptian couple in Jordan. In fact, you all were so generous that just like that check that Jared got for $1,000, we distributed three more checks this morning to families in need for a total of $10,000. Some of the needs were, all of the needs were deeply financial, obviously. People that have lost jobs or are struggling because of medical bills, newly diagnosed medical problems, all situations that are so fresh and so personal. We didn't want to put people on the spot that weren't prepared to share their story. And so the staff got together and identified needs within our church family, and we distributed those this morning. The total offering was right over $11,000 as a total. And so that extra $1,000 there for you math majors is going to go to bless another missionary couple that is over in Jordan. And remember that video that I showed you? The video that I filmed, that selfie video, talking to Nader and his family, gifting them the money. Well, I want to show you Nader's reaction when right after he saw the video. Here's Nader. Oh no, that's not it. That's not it. That's my reaction. What? Justin, can you go to the slide before that? There it is. That was Nader's reaction after he saw the video. Yeah, it was. Oh, I didn't tell you. I went to Jordan to tell him this week. This past week, I went to Jordan. I did. No one believes me. That should worry me as a pastor, but actually it just shows how wise you are. But you're actually wrong. After I preached my message on Sunday, my wife Haley drove me to the airport and I flew to Jordan to visit for a second time. And this is literally the reaction that he had after I told him about the $6,000. In fact, I went as a surprise and a blessing. Haley, my wife and I, we financed it. It didn't come out of the church money or the fifth Sunday offering. We financed it to be extravagantly generous as believers in Christ and extremely loving. We thought that this would be a blessing and a great surprise. And so that next picture is of my Mecca in the Middle East. I found a Starbucks. The picture of me surprised, where was that one? Yeah, that was me. I rented a car in Jordan. That was me excited to drive in the Middle East because they drive, here they call it aggressive driving, there they call it driving. So I was excited to aggressively drive. There's the Starbucks. Remember the family that I told you about with the daughters that wanted to friend me on Facebook right after I met them, the Iraqi family? This was a revisit with them where I gifted a bunch of books and devotional Bibles that my wife and I wrote. So I got to do that and deliver that in person, and they were quite surprised. This is the couple that we're going to be blessing with airfare that they were struggling to raise. This is Cesar and Jessica. They're missionaries from Brazil, and they were seeking to go to a linguistics institute in Europe for 3 months so that they can better communicate with the population there in Jordan. And also, this couple that are 26 and 28 years of age, this couple is so sold out to the mission of God and the cause of Christ that Jordan isn't enough for them. They're cutting their teeth there. They're the ones that coordinate the women's ministry on the ground there, that help them to teach them how to run micro businesses and profit and loss in the crafts and things that they're doing. They're learning on the ground there how to set this up so that they can take their skills to someplace a little less extreme, like Afghanistan. That's where they want to go next, is Afghanistan. And so we're gifting them their airfare that they need to go to this 3 months linguistics institute. And then this was the picture of flying over the Dead Sea. That's the Dead Sea, all of it. And then this picture, can you see it's a little dog looking up at a elated Brazilian missionary? Because you all know my love of dogs, this was a local shepherd's sheepdog's pup that was a tiny puppy when the last time I was there, but for whatever reason, the pup got separated from parents, herd, and the herders don't really care about the pups. They just care about, there's animals running wild everywhere, cats, dogs, rarely used as pets, only for guard dogs, things like that. Well, this little pup was just hanging around the guest house and the area around it. And so the pup adopted, her name's Fanny, and her husband Ismail adopted them, and so I paid for the vet bill to get it like decontaminated. I mean, this vet was going over with a comb, taking out mites and ticks and dewormed and all this. And their missionary, they don't have any money, and they were going to do it because they wanted to be parents, and so they've got a new fur baby, and I'm a grandfather now. I have a granddaughter named Samba, so a good Brazilian name. And then I think that's the last photo, so I'll give it back over to you, Justin. The reason that I shared all of these pictures with you is the announcement, one of the reasons is the announcement for my presentation at Green Hill Church that was supposed to be kind of a combined thing for our church, their church, other churches in the area. There was a miscommunication that I found out about last night. They had reserved a room for us that would hold about 35 people, which that might be accurate. That might only be 35 people combined that are interested, but we could have had that event at Shiloh, where the students meet. And so so that is not going to take place this Wednesday. We're going to reschedule when we can have a larger venue. But I wanted you to get a taste, again, of how you all are blessing really a lot of young people, missionaries as young as 19, and really the ripe old age of maybe 32 that is serving the suffering church in the Middle East. I wanted to give you an idea of where your fifth Sunday offerings were going to, not just to celebrate, not just to the Middle East to support these missionaries seeking to comfort and minister to refugees and even share the gospel with Muslims, but also celebrate in sharing in an extra $4,000 that you all raised for our church family, for families that have need. So, two things as far as travel. Number one, we're starting to put together what it would look like for me to lead a group of you that have expressed interest already in going to the Middle East. That trip will not be in 2017, because we need time. We need time for training. We need time for discussion. But 2018, we're planning on taking a group from Friendship Community Church to the Middle East. But the other good news on this front is I've also been asked to do a similar thing of discipleship and soul care for the team of More International that reaches out to the suffering church around the world. I've been asked to come and set up a similar system of mentorship and discipleship in Uganda. So if the Middle East doesn't float your boat, if it doesn't spur your camel, I don't know, that doesn't, I tried to make it relevant. Bedouins with spurs, you know, kicking their camels, I don't know, it doesn't work. But if Uganda and serving women and children and orphans in Africa sparks something in your heart, that's good. Go with that. Start praying over that, because that's probably going to be my next trip, is to Uganda, probably first of the year, probably January, for kind of a fact-finding mission. So anyways, that's a lot of update, a lot of family business, but it's a family Sunday. I want to ask you a question. How were your affections this past week? How were your affections? For those of you that either listened to the podcast online or were here for the sermon, how was your week in deducing, diagnosing where your heart's affections were? Was last week's sermon helpful for some of you in recalibrating what you love, what loves in your heart, what place of prominence in your heart you were giving things that weren't God, that weren't God's mission? I pray that it was an encouragement for you. I pray that it was a great reminder for you. Well, this morning's sermon is very short because of this long update. The sermon is very short, so for some of you, this is another celebration point. It means that after this, you can get a good spot at Sonic for your scheduled brunch. Nothing communicates love to mothers than a 50-cent corn dog. So last week we read from the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17 about that new affection that we need. And if you remember, in verse 16, in mid-reading, I said, look it, there's a three-point sermon right here in this verse. Well, guess what? We're going to look at that verse and expand on it and dig into that three-point sermon that was hidden in that middle verse of those three verses. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, navigate over to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. And if you don't have one of those or are just lazy like me, you can look at the screen behind you. And we're going to talk about the three temptations. John writes this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And here's verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So in your note sheet, you've got 1, 2, 3. And I'm just going to give those points to you now, but I'll give you time to write each one down as they come up. But you can guess what those three things are. They're the three things, the three desires, sometimes also in some translations called lusts, that comprise the three temptations. And John gives us these three temptations that everyone in the world has experienced, are experiencing, and will experience. There's not a human that's ever lived that hasn't experienced these three temptations. And I want to note, especially, just so we're clear, that temptation is not sin. Get that. When you are tempted, if you are tempted, that is not sin. Acting on temptation, that is sin. Because even Jesus was tempted, but Jesus lived a life free of sin. The Bible tells us this. So temptation will happen to you. It has happened. And it maybe even is happening right now. So there's three kinds of temptation. We're going to look at those three this morning. The first is the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. Either one. You can write whichever one makes you happy. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is that temptation to feel physical pleasure from some sinful activity. The temptation to feel physical pleasure from some sinful activity. So the important thing in that definition is sinful activity. You got to know what activities are sinful and what's not. Otherwise, you don't know if it's temptation that you're experiencing or just a desire for a good thing, right? So how do you know what's a sinful activity? Well, that's what we have God's word for. It's also what we have the Holy Spirit for, because the Holy Spirit, one of the key jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin, to warn us from sin. So any type of sinful activity that brings pleasure to the body is the desire or the lust of the flesh. So things like, obviously, sexual sins, physical violence, drug use, drugs of all kinds, legal and illegal. But for legal drugs, there's no, let's just say prescription painkillers. If you've been prescribed by your doctor painkillers for something, but then you start to use them because you're looking for the physical pleasure that you get from the overuse or misuse of those drugs, that's sinful. It's not sinful to take an oxycodone after a wisdom tooth pull. But if you do it just so you can shut off the world, that's sin. Even things like gossip can become like physical pleasure, like you get this physical rush when you share something that you shouldn't share. The Apostle Paul gives us a nice example of the works of the flesh, he calls them. So the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh is the temptation. If you give in to the temptation, then you're life produces the works of the flesh. He talks about them in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 19, right before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Well, some of the works or that come from the lust of the flesh, adultery, cleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strife, heresies, murders. Murder is a desire or a lust of the flesh. Okay, so the Apostle Paul wraps up those works of the flesh with this strong statement that people that express those temptations into works shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a big warning. So, lust of the flesh, followed by number two, the lust of the eyes, or the desires of the eyes. Can someone think, what is the first story for all you Bible nerds out there? And you don't even have to be a Bible nerd to know this story. What is the first story from the Bible and even the Old Testament that makes you think of the lust of the eyes? Who is involved? What? David? What was another one? Adam and Eve? Yeah, good. Yeah, the first one that comes to my mind, maybe because I'm a man, is David. In 2 Samuel, where David is on his rooftop, he's the king, he's married, he's probably married multiple, he probably has multiple wives and whatnot, but he's married and he's on the rooftop and he looks out across another rooftop and sees Bathsheba, this beautiful woman, bathing. And he sees her. But he doesn't turn away. He doesn't, as some people like to say, he doesn't bounce his eyes to something else. But he is tempted and he gives in to the temptation. His eyes linger far too long. And then he succumbs to the lust of the eyes, and that leads to the lust of the flesh, where he has a adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. He commits murder. He arranges for the murder of Bathsheba's husband. So you see that one temptation leads to one sin, category of sin, that leads to the other temptation and the next category of sin. Well, what do our eyes lust after? We lust after things that we cannot have or should not have, the things that don't belong to us, the things that we envy, the things that we covet, the things that, well, how about this? This is a simple illustration. Lust of the flesh, for me, is the donut table. I got an amen, thank you. That's the lust of the flesh for me. Lust of the eyes, for many of us, comes a lot of times from this. Don't look at the last four digits. Okay. This is on video. Pan back out, Sarah. How does this come into play with the lust of the eyes? You see something, you want it, but can you afford it? Is it in the budget? Debt comes from both the lust of the flesh, but also the lust of the eyes. Our society has a great pornography problem, a great pornography problem. That is lust of the eyes that then leads to lust of the flesh. What are we supposed to do when we're tempted? We're supposed to flee. We're supposed to flee. That's why I don't linger at the table out there. Once every Sunday morning, I go over to the boxes and I just go like this. It doesn't say anything about lust of the nose. So I'm okay, but I have to beware and not linger. So many of us have gotten into such great predicaments where we can't live out the purpose that God has created for us in our lives because we've succumbed to the lust of the eyes and we've gotten into debt. We're not free to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. We have to rely on other people. We pay for our Disney World vacations. Watch your toes. If you're wearing open-toed shoes, this is going to hurt. We pay for our Disney World vacations, and then we say, well, we don't have enough money to go on this mission trip or to give to brothers and sisters in need. Or we'll just fundraise and we'll have other people pay for our mission trip, but we won't take our first fruits and invest in the mission of God in our own lives. Okay, that's uncomfortable. Let's get to one that doesn't seem as uncomfortable. Number three. I told you this was quick. Number three, the pride of life. The pride of life. See, when you talk about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes or the desires or of the eyes and the desires of the flesh, the pride of life doesn't sound as bad, does it? It's like, well, that's not bad. Can I just gird you for this next point? This is worse. The pride of life is probably the most destructive to our souls because we fool ourselves that that this is normal, this is not that bad. What is the pride of life? It's desiring to get glory or credit for things that others or God did. Have you known somebody in your workplace that takes credit for other people's work? Doesn't that just chap your hide? Sorry, that's a Western term. Doesn't that irritate you? Put a burn in your saddle was my second choice, but I had to move along from that one. How about desiring for others to worship us or hold us in excessively high esteem? You know, the diagnosis for that is people pleaser, where we want to please people or be, I don't know, in school we call it popularity. We want to be popular, Mr. Popular. Desiring to be valued or more important than others around us. Like, we're not going for high esteem. We just want to be seen as more valuable than everybody else. What's wrong with that? It's pride. Consider the words of Satan himself when he's quoted in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 14. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was Satan's fatal flaw and his great fall from the graces of God was that he wanted to be like God, greater than God. So, there's three temptations that we all face. All sin comes out of these three temptations. Why is that important? Well, it's important to know and to be able to see it coming. It's like me walking my dogs around our loop that has no sidewalk and no shoulder. I've got to walk in the road. Rarely do I walk my dogs around the loop with my headphones in. Rarely. But I'm kind of stupid sometimes, and I put them in because, you know, I just want to listen to my jams. And so it's all, you know, classical Berlioz and I don't know. But why is it stupid with no sidewalk and no shoulder to put my earphones in while I'm walking my dogs? Why is it stupid? Tell your pastor why he's stupid. You're unleashed. Because I can't hear the cars. I can't hear them coming. Worse, if I'm looking down or I'm sightseeing, I can't see them coming. That's why it's important to recognize these three categories of temptation. So let's look in closing at the three temptations in action, in the Word, in Scripture. So let's look at the very first book of the Bible. Some of you talked about Adam and Eve and the lust of the eyes instead of David. Well, you win too, because that's what we're going to look at. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. This is what the narration is of this moment. So when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, donuts, lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, not just that it was pretty, the tree and its fruit, but that it wasn't hers to have. God had said, you shall not eat from this tree. When we look at a man or a woman that's not our spouse, and we look with eyes of covetousness, that we want this person that doesn't belong to us, We see that there are a delight to the eyes. That is the temptation, the lust of the eyes. And it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise. Because Satan, the tempter, had said to Eve that if you eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll know what God knows. You'll elevate your status. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now let's flip forward. So there's the three temptations in action in one verse from the very first sinners. That's in our spiritual DNA. It's woven there. Now let's look at the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and verses 3 through 10. This is the famous passage where Jesus is drawn into the wilderness to be tempted. And guess what? Jesus is tempted three times by Satan. Verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be donuts, loaves of bread. But he answered, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sometimes our stomachs and our appetites are liars. We don't need the food that our flesh thinks of, but the real feeding that we need is in God's word. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot on the stone. And the third temptation, and Jesus said to him again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The second temptation was the lust of the eyes. Took him to the top of the temple. Whether this is a physical representation of giving him to be able to survey everything that he could have and throw himself down. Some theologians think one is the lust of the eyes and the other is the pride of life and vice versa. You can find elements in both. Satan was trying to say to him in either case and in both cases, you can have what's not rightfully yours yet. You can achieve something, but be in debt to me. Something that you will achieve if you're just faithful to the Father, but there's a shortcut. You can be indebted to me. If you'll just worship me, I'll give you everything that you see. Those are the temptations that we are faced with, the same ones that Jesus was faced with and was victorious against, the same ones that started this whole sickness of sin in us, that started with Adam and Eve. Why is it important? Because so that we can see sin coming, we can hear it coming. So how then shall we live knowing about these three temptations? Well, my hope is that coupled with last week's message on creating a new affection, finding a new affection in your heart, than the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that you will experience more of God in your life. More abundance of love, more abundance of joy, more abundance of peace, the fruit of the Spirit, more self-control to walk by a table and just do this. It's not a sin to eat a donut. I can eat a donut. Just one, I can eat it. But we have to know our limitations. Some of us feel free and feel in the Spirit to have a drink. Some of us feel in the Spirit that we can try and build our platform, our network. But when we become obsessed with a thing, when it becomes the desire of our heart instead of the desiring God, the God of the universe, that is when good things turn into sin. Will you bow with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good things in life. I thank you for relationships. I thank you for food. I thank you for exercise. I thank you for careers, occupations, hobbies, diversions. But Father, that word diversion, Father, help us never to be diverted from you, who should be our first and greatest love of our life. Father, I thank you for the examples of Adam and Eve and David, and even the words of Satan that so clearly spell out his strategy. Father, thank you for giving us sin's playbook that we get in advance of the game. Father, you give us all the tools to lead a holy life, and still we fall short. Not one human being, Father, we know from your word and we know from our relationships and we know from our testimonies of our lives that not one person in the history of the world has led a sinless life except for your Son. And so, Father, even more than the observation and the instruction of your word on temptation and on sin, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace that gives us new hope and new mercies every morning. Father, I pray for our family relationships that you would provide healing. Father, I pray for the burdens that are being experienced in real time right now in this room, that you would lift those burdens from the people that are suffering them, Father. Separation from people that they love. Incarceration, Father. Unemployment. Financial stress. Father, I pray that the generosity that was exhibited on the fifth Sunday of April would become a daily device where we can show your love for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our church family. Father, help us to become extravagantly generous with our hearts and minds and bodies and resources because we are loving you with our all, that you are our greatest affection, and so then out of that love we can love others. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.